David Moyes, you are invited to the parade. Amazing. You guys should have won. Should be still a 6-point lead instead of a 5, but we will take it. I'd have cut somebody's arm off for a draw in the City Everton game today, man. But we're going to talk about all that in a minute. Welcome to another edition of Soccer for Dummies. I'm your host, Scott Lewis. If you are new to the channel, please press subscribe right now. Subscribe to everything we're doing here at Scott's World of Sports. We talk about the NFL, more specifically the Chicago Bears. We talk about the NBA. Got the NBA playoff second round preview up right now. And we talk about the beautiful game, football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, man, so shout out to everybody who has supported this show. I think it's like the 5th episode I've done so far. We with the intro, we had B, we had Gabby, we had Tosa. Yeah, this is episode 5. So definitely appreciate everybody who has been tuning into the show. I didn't think that it would, you know, people would really care to hear what I said, considering I've only been watching the sport for 14 months. But I appreciate y'all who've been watching. It's been a lot of love that I've been getting from this so far, man. So of course, follow me at Barkchair Scott on all social media platforms. That is on Twitter/X. That is on Instagram. And that is on TikTok, man. And subscribe to the channel if you're too lazy to press the button. The QR code is right here on the screen. It'll take you right to that. And you will need to do everything you do on there. So also, subscribe to the Patreon. Link is in the description box and the QR code on the screen. That will take you to everything we have exclusively. You can get episodes to Barber's Chair and my own personal content earlier than everybody else. So we appreciate y'all, man. But I am recording this about, I'm going to say, 30 to 45 minutes after the conclusion of Everton and Man City, which it was a 3-3 draw. Crazy game. We were about 30 seconds away. Man City actually losing that game. They should have lost that game. Damn, them refs, man. The officiating in the Premier League, I think officiating in sports in general is just terrible. It's just god awful. Like, of course, y'all know I spent all NFL season complaining about the refs. Baseball, I think, has been cool this year because they've been having a lot of the computer stuff lately. The NBA is terrible, and everything in world football. We saw bad plays. We saw bad calls tonight. We saw bad calls this weekend. We saw bad calls in the Champions League. We've seen bad. I saw bad calls in La Liga this weekend. It's just been bad. So refs are really trying to mess stuff up. But regardless, it's a draw. We will take it. This is dropping on Tuesday morning, so it's the day of the Champions League. So I will be, you know what I'm saying, talking about that game, which happens today because this drops on Tuesday. But yeah, man, so this is kind of an instant reaction to the game I just watched. We all just watched. So yeah, man, I'm happy about it. You know, it was a good game. It was a good game. If I'm a neutral, right? If I'm not a Arsenal fan or a Man City fan, I'm loving this title race. I'm loving this entire Premier League season. I mean, even the narrative in the relegation battle changed this weekend with West Ham losing to Brentford and with Spurs getting a big-time win in Villa Park against a very shameless Villa side this past weekend. We'll talk about that as well. And then Chelsea doing Chelsea things, losing 6 in a row, going back to pre-Roman Abramovich era Chelsea. You got to love it. Now, let's talk more specifically about this game. Now, we all knew that City could not afford to lose another game for the rest of this season. Now they put themselves in a very bad position. Now, obviously, they need to feel good about coming back because they would have lost today. It would have been 100% over. It's not over yet. Arsenal still have 3 games left. City have 4 games left. And this weekend, they've got a team in Brentford coming to the Etihad, which is going to be another tough battle. Brentford, a very tough team, a team that is right now fighting for European position. They're honestly fighting to try to get the final Champions League spot, because there will probably be 6 Champions League spots this year if a Premier League team wins the Europa League. And it looks like, I think, a good chance is going to be either Villa or Forest winning on the Europa League. So they have a chance to even get Champions League. So you know they're going to be coming with it. City absolutely could not afford the result they had then. You could tell You can tell from the body language, like when Doku. By the way, I gotta give it up to Doku. Doku to me is, I know some people might not like this comparison, but he kind of reminds me of Noni Madueke, where it's like he has the moves, but he's not as consistent and it doesn't always correct all the time. Now, granted, Doku is definitely way more clinical than Noni Madueke, but I think the biggest issue with Doku has been his consistency. He was amazing today. Two world-class goals, and that last one to save them from defeat. But it's like they got excited, they tied it, and as soon as that final buzzer went off, it was like it hit them like, oh, shit, we fucked up. Now, we'll get to the Arsenal side of this in a minute. But if you're City, man, not only did you drop 2 points, so now the highest points total you can finish with is 83. Arsenal is at 76th right now, so all day the highest they can finish with 84 points and still win this league. That's 8 more points to get them their first Premier League championship in 22 years. Brutal defeat. You see it on their faces. Pep, even when Doku scored the equalizer, you know, obviously he did the Tiger Woods fist pump, but he knows that they messed up tonight. They messed up tonight. When they beat Chelsea 3-0 at Stamford Bridge and then beat Arsenal at the Etihad after Arsenal losing to Bournemouth, it was in their hands. It was in their hands. And I think the best thing for Arsenal was having the two games to play before Man City played. About being able to go up 6 points, grow the goal difference a little bit, and just put pressure on Man City. Like, okay, now you have pressure. So now they have pressure now, and I'm not going to put too much dip on my chip because we've seen multiple times this season when Arsenal had the chance to put teams away, they do not do it. So I'm not going to, get too giddy, but I you got to feel good. You got to feel good. Three more games. There are 9 points on the line. If you get 8, you are Premier League champions. And you right now you have a 4-point goal difference, which is huge, which is absolutely massive because City still have 3 more very tough teams to play. You've got Brentford at home this week. Then they got to go to Bournemouth at Vitaly Stadium. Bournemouth have not lost since we beat them back in the first week of January. In fact, it might have been New Year's Day or at least the opening weekend of 2026. That's how long it's been since Bournemouth has lost a game. That's going to be tough. And they got to play Palace. That's going to be tough. Now, the final game of the week, final game of the year for both teams, I think both Arsenal and City are going to be playing teams that aren't really playing for nothing. It looks like the Crystal Palace, they got 1 foot in the Conference League final. I do expect them to win on Thursday and officially go to the Conference League final. The best thing for Arsenal is the Conference League final. It's 3 days after the final game of the season. So if they do advance, you know Glasner's going to rest all the big dogs. And Arsenal's pretty much going to be going up against Academy kids, which is going to help them. And the same thing with Villa. If Villa do come back from their 1-0 deficit in the semifinal in the Europa against Forest, then they will advance to the Europa League final. And the Europa League final is a couple days before their match on the road against City. And I'm pretty sure Unai Emery does not want to help hit the team that fired him in any way possible. So I expect them to rest guys as well. So that game will be like a stat pattern game. But that's not going to matter if Arsenal win these next two. Now, they do have a massive game this Sunday against West Ham. West Ham losing this weekend to Brentford. They got it. This is their season on Sunday. I'm expecting a very, very tough, very, very tough game. I'm expecting West Ham to come out. West Ham, Kate, they don't need a draw. West Ham need to win. All right, now, Arsenal has been very good in London Stadium the last couple of years. There's been some 5-0s in there. I think there was a 6-0 in there. And, you know, as much as they're going to be fighting for their life, of course, obviously it's important to Arsenal because now the title is in their sights. So I expect that to be a great game. But one thing Arsenal got to keep in mind, this is a team, even though they've been in pretty decent form, West Ham, they've conceded the most goals in the Premier League. I think they've conceded. I think they're top three. It works. Let me check this real quick. Let me look on the Premier League app. By the way, I want to say the Premier League app is the best app out of any of the major sports leagues in the world. They're top three. So Burnley's conceded the most. West Ham's conceded the third most with 61. So that's something that you could definitely take advantage of right there if you're Arsenal. But this is a good position. Good position, man. And now City, not only do City have to go undefeated again, they got to hope we drop points one more time. And even if we do drop points, goal difference. So the opportunity for them in the driver's seat for the rest of the season is gone. They've got to win all their games. They got to score a lot of goals, and they got to hope we drop points and don't score goals. So it's not over yet. Fat lady ain't singing yet. I don't even think she's warming up yet. If we beat West Ham on Sunday, I think she's warming up. But she at least getting up looking for her saxophone. That's at least what she's doing right now. I think you can say that for sure, man. Trying to think of anything else from City, Everton. Oh, Everton, let's talk about them. Great game. Little defensive liability towards the last 10 minutes of the game, but very great game for them. They're still in this with a chance to be able to get European qualification. They played really good in their first season at Hill Dickinson. So right now, if I'm looking at the table, they jumped up. It's still a 10. They're at their 10th on the table, but they are currently 3 points out of the seventh position, which is held by Brentford, to get at least into the Conference League. And Brentford is a point behind Bournemouth for their sixth and possibly last Champions League spot. So a lot to be played for on that one, man. So shout out to David Moyes. Looking out for his son. Looking out for his son, Mikel Arteta. So let's talk about the Arsenal. Big win. Big win. Big massive win this past Saturday. I just want to thank Arsenal for winning this game before halftime, because I had a baby shower to go to. My niece is going to be here at a month max. So it was a baby shower. And I was just like, please, Lord, let them win so I don't be the dude at the baby shower with attitude. Okay, I don't want to be here with an attitude. You know, we celebrate my niece being about to be born, and I'm up here mad about 11 22-year-olds who are ruining my mental health. Okay, so I'm glad that they're able to get it done. But what I think I've been seeing, and I think it started with the Newcastle game, and well, not with the Newcastle, yeah, with the Newcastle game. I know the Newcastle game wasn't the prettiest. But I think just even in that first half, I think they were slowly getting their identity back. And I saw it a little bit in the second leg against Sporting, where defensively we're starting to get back. But this weekend, you know, the way the offense, the attack, and they were just going at it. And Miles Lewis-Skelly, my son Miles Lewis-Skelly. People told me before I started watching the sport that you're going to get attached to the academy kids, because they're homegrown, and those are guys you've been rooting for, and he is hailing. Miles Lewis-Skelly has been quiet. He's been patient. He's played his role. You know, he played a lot of time towards the end of last season. After Ricardo Calafiore got injured, he played a lot of minutes left back, had big moments like the goal and the 5-1 router against City at the Emirates last season. And who could forget about how big he played in both legs against Real Madrid in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. That was my introduction to Miles Lewis-Skelly. And then you think that he's going to come right back into his role this offseason. He didn't. Calafiore got his spat back. And then they went out there and signed Pierre Hincapié. Pierre Hincapié has been great. And then with getting Eze to add to the midfield, he's been asked out of minutes. And he just waited and waited and waited. Of course, the rumors of him, wanting to leave and go to Man United was an option. You never say never. You never know what's going to happen during the season, during the off season. I'm not ready to talk about the off season yet. But this dude has a place on this team. He was fluid. He's best passes we've seen in a long time. And the offense, the attack was just going. And I think what you're starting to see from this team is they believe. A lot of people made fun of Declan Rice when they lost it to Etihad, and he's looking at Odegaard and Havertz. He's like, it's not over. They're like, well, you know, he's doing too much. He's always doing too much. He's doing it for theatrics, which Arsenal never gets. You know, other teams never get the slander that Arsenal gets. And I understand it. I've accepted it. Like nobody, let us drop points the way City had dropped points today. Oh my God, it'd be everywhere. I'm really gonna be interested to see the questions about mentality, or you know, do you have the bottle? Any of that crap the British media be saying? Because as much people talk about City has bottle, I think what you're forgetting, a great amount of that City team has never won a Premier League before. Look who's won a Premier League. You got Haaland's won a Premier League. Doku has won a Premier League. Foden has won one, but he barely even plays. And then you got the older guys. Rodri's out the lineup again. Ruben Diaz isn't playing. You know, Kevin De Bruyne is not walking through that door. Kyle Walker is not walking through that door. That drunk Jack Grealish might have been across the other side of the pitch with Everton, But he's not walking through that door. It's a different team. So I want that bottle question too. Because there was a lot of talking going on after that Etihad loss. A lot of talking. And I'm not even going to address it now. It's too early. Not going to put too much dip on my chip yet. But we about 3 weeks from us having a conversation. Okay? So I'm going to leave it at that. But great thing for Arsenal. I think Arsenal is vibing. We got our swagger back. And I know they were all watching tonight. I hate when athletes and coaches say they're not going to watch a certain team, no matter the sport. You're watching it. Okay? Let's just cut the crap. You're watching it. And you got to – if I'm an Arsenal player, if I'm Mikel Arteta, I'm thinking, yep, we messed it up last time. We're not doing it again. This is everything you've worked for. Everything you've worked for. And I don't think these next three games are going to be easy. I still think there's one more part of this story left. I've been watching sports for 30 years. Yes, I've only been watching this sport for 14 months, but I've been watching sports for 30 years. When you're trying to win a championship during a drought, there's many banana peels. I do think there's one more banana peel potentially on the road. Now it's up to them to swerve past that banana peel and keep driving, or they're going to let it trip them up again. So, but you got to be feeling good. If you told everybody on this team, beginning of the year, three games left, you up 5 points, you got a 4-point advantage in the goal difference, you get to play West Ham, Crystal Palace, and Burnley to finish the season. You bit somebody arm off of that. It's a perfect thing. So I also want to talk about Victor Gyökeres. Like I said, we're going to have a serious conversation in 3 weeks, hopefully. You know what I'm saying, about a lot of the talking that's been going on. I'm tired of the Victor Gyökeres talking. I'm tired of it. Is he aesthetically pleasing? No, he's not. You know, sometimes, you know, his build-up play isn't good. Sometimes he can't hold on to the ball as well. But one thing I love about this dude, man, he is a goal scorer. Now, I got introduced to Victor Gyökeres very quickly, like within the first month of me watching the sport, when I started looking at, you know, who would potentially be guys we could sign in the offseason as striker. And it was really a lot of names with Sesko and Gyökeres. And I think Sesko's having a good season. I think what he's contributed to United has been great. And I think the sky's the roof, whatever that Michael Jordan be saying. I think he'll be good for that team. But I don't think he's been able to face the criticism that comes with playing for this team. Not, and obviously there's a lot of criticism that comes with playing for Man United. I'm not naive to that. Man United is, if not the biggest club in the world, the second biggest club behind Real Madrid. I'm not stupid. But in a title race, playing three times a week, you know, having another guy people think that might be better than you. And the way Gyökeres has handled it with so much grace, you know, he doesn't talk. He goes out there and do his job. 21 goals. There's no way you can call this a fluke just because you don't like how he plays. I'm not comparing him to this man, obviously, but let's be really real. When Erling Haaland isn't scoring goals, does it look sexy? Does it look aesthetically pleasing? No, it don't. It look like he out there in cardio too with Timberland boots. You know what I'm saying? So for him to go out there and consistently deliver three goals this past week, one big goal in the Champions League, on the road at the Metropolitano, which is a super tough place to play, and he bagged two in a big Premier League game. Victor Gyökeres is a striker, bro. And if he's doing this in his first year in the Premier League against these very physical defenders, let's be real, he got fouled 80 times on Saturday. They just didn't call it. He gets mugged. He's one of the few players in the league. You can put him in a crippler crossface, put him on a last ride, all of that, and nothing's going to happen to him. The refs ain't going to call nothing. And he still goes out there and does a job. And all the things he went through, even gave up money to be with this club, you got to respect it. And that's no disrespect to Kai. I'm not one of them Arsenal fans who are going to be up here going in on our players. We need everybody, bro. It's three games left. Three games left. Hopefully five in total if we win today against Atletico and go on to the Champions League final. We need everybody. Y'all know I'm not a Martinelli fan. Y'all know I'm not an Odegaard fan. We need everybody, dog. And so I'm not really going in on Kai. What Kai brings to the table is going to be needed too. But Victor Gyökeres, stop talking about that boy. 21 goals in all competition, 14 in the Premier League. For weeks I kept hearing, well, name a Premier League champion that didn't have a top five goal scorer. Well, if we do hold on to win this, he's a top five goal scorer. Okay? So please, shut that up. Now I'm going to close the Arsenal Premier League part of this before we talk about the Champions League for the next 2 days. Bukayo Saka. Not going to lie, my brother, you had me worried. but you came through. And, you know, when Mikal went up there and said that there's no more pain in the Achilles, he's free. That's awesome. Because when I think I just feel good that it was just an injury thing. Because I was worried. I was really, really worried. Like, did he lose it? But it was just an injury thing. He looks great to me in the last three appearances. I thought he looked good in his cameo against Atleti. And I thought he looked good in his cameo against Newcastle. And he was fantastic in the 45 minutes that he played this past weekend against Fulham. And I really love that Mikal played in 45 minutes, got him off, got an important game for Friday. I mean, for Tuesday. And, man, if this man can continue to stay in form, bro, it's just going to be great. So, shout out to Bakayo when he plays. He's one of the best wingers in Europe. He's just incredible. And I don't want to put too much dip on my chip. I don't want to put the horse before the cart before the horse or whatever the phrase is. But it really feels like things are coming together. You know, got great news today from Mikal that both Odegaard and Kai will be available to play in the game against Atleti. And it just feels like it's coming together. We just need to hold it down. And, yeah, man, so tonight, Arsenal, Atleti at Emirates Stadium. A win and Arsenal will be in their first Champions League final in 20 years. Last time they were in the Champions League, they were taking on Barcelona and lost in very, very heartbreaking fashion. So I think Atleti's going to come with it. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a free-flowing exhibition we saw this past weekend. I do believe there's going to be a lot of tough defense being played, and I think Simeone is going to have his guys ready. But at the end of the day, man, you're at home. And that crowd is going to be absolutely electric. Not just off the big weekend they had, but because Man City dropped points, it's going to be loud. They're going to be debuting a TIFO. I heard it's the biggest TIFO they've had this season, so that's going to be good. Hold on 1 second. My dog is doing something. We're doing this live. I'm not editing this. We're going to do this live. All right, if you're listening to this on the audio, I apologize for them 10 seconds of nothingness. My dog was tripping. But anyway, we are here. So, yeah, Atleti, I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm not going to give a prediction because I'm done giving predictions because I made a lot of predictions and they were all wrong in the month of April. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say we're going to win, and I think it's going to be very closely contested. But dear, it's a crib, and I think this team knows what's at stake. They know what's at stake, and, you know, I'm nervous, but I'm also excited to watch because obviously I've never seen them in the Champions League final because I wasn't watching this sport 20 years ago. In fact, I don't even think you could legally watch this sport in America 20 years ago. So I have no recollection of that. But of course, I know my history and I know what happened that year. So I think the question here, everybody wants to know, should Miles Lewis-Skelly get another start? If it was up to me, I probably would, but that's also why I'm not a manager. I think Mikal, he's gotten all of his lineups correct in the last couple weeks, and I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. I do think Zubimendi will play, and I honestly think Zubimendi deserves to play because he's just been riding with us the entire year. I know a lot of people say that, you know, he's lost his form, which has been true. He's been tired. He's played almost every game. I think yesterday, this past weekend, was the first time all season he hasn't started a Premier League game. So, and also his first year in the Premier League, you know, he's never played this amount of games when he was with Real Sociedad. You got to give him a little grace. But I do think you play, but you have options. You have options. The bench. This is as healthy as this team is, in my opinion, going to get for the rest of the season. So there's so many different ways for Mikal to go. If you need to defend the league lead at the end of the game, if you need to get a goal at the end of the game, everybody's going to be ready. Now, we all know Jurrien Timber is out. I personally don't think we're going to see Jurrien for the rest of the year. I hope I'm wrong. We need him out there. I think that Mosquera and Ben White is not what he used to be. He's definitely had some weak moments, but you just got to give it to Ben White for what he's done these last couple seasons, putting his body on the line for this club. He's a true Arsenal man. I'm not going to shit on him because, you know, how he's played the last couple weeks. Now, I honestly think that, you know, for his limitations, he's been playing pretty well. And I would start Mosquera today, but there's been enough on the right hand side, I believe, to get the job done. And I think Atleti gonna come with it. I think Julian Alvarez is gonna try to put on a show for maybe his potential next team. But when the smoke clears, I think it's going to be a great night in London tonight and a great afternoon for me in America and all of us Arsenal fans in America. It's going to be fun. I think they'll win. And I think they will play. Wednesday's a tough game. Wednesday's a tough game. PSG Bayern 5-4. PSG won last week. But now you're going to Germany to play in the Allianz, one of the toughest stadiums to play in world football. I don't know who's going to win. Like, I'm not going to talk about how everybody gassed that game last week. We're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about that again. But these teams are very much almost carbon copies of each other. Amazing attacks. Two coaches who don't care, who just go out all guns blazing. I think PSG is a slightly better team. I think they got a better defense. They got a better back four. I love their midfield a little bit better. But when you got Harry Kane, when you got Luis Diaz, when you got Michael Olise over there, it's very hard to compete with that, man. And I think this is going to be who scores less. That's what I think. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as the other one, but I do think this will be. I think last week we saw 9. I think you're going to see at least five on Wednesday, and I think it's going to be exciting. But I have been pussyfooting around picking who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick. I think Bayern's going to find a way. Very hard to repeat as European champions. Very hard to make it back-to-back European championships. But I think they're at home. They're going to be feeling good. That crowd is going to be loud. They're going to be wearing their new kits for the 26-27 season. And would not surprise me, obviously, if PSG won. I don't think from an Arsenal perspective, it really matters who they play. And I say that because they are both are immense threats. And I think no matter the matchup, Arsenal's going to be intense underdogs if we do beat Atleti. It's like, do you want to be shot with a silencer or do you want to be shot with an AK-47? It really don't matter. Having said all, I think Bayern will edge it. I think Bayern will edge it, and I think that the final will be Bayern and Arsenal, and I'm definitely not going to preview that whatsoever. That's going to be stressful. I just want to win the league so that I can go into that game on May 30th and say, whatever happens today is a cherry on top because we already won the Premier League. I don't want us to jag the Premier League and then our entire season rests on this game. But don't put too much dip on the chip. Still got to be Atleti today. And I do believe they'll be Atleti today. Couple more nuggets before we wrap this episode up of Soccer for Dummies. If you haven't pressed like already, please press like. Please leave a comment. Let me know what you think. And if you are messing with the content, let me know. Tottenham. Got to talk Tottenham. You know what's funny? I don't hate Tottenham. And I think the reason I don't hate Tottenham is, one, I don't live in London, so I don't have that, you know, I don't meet Spurs fans. I don't even think I know any Spurs fans personally. I think I may know one. I think my man Germs is a Spurs fan, but I don't even know if he watches the sport heavy like this. I don't know. But I don't really know any Spurs fan. I pity them. I laugh at them. They're like your little brother who you can just beat up whenever. That's how I kind of look at Spurs. I hate Chelsea Football Club. We will get to those bums in just a second. But it feels like they got new life. Roberto De Zerbi, this is his third game right now with the club. They drew the first one against Brighton, won last week against Wolves, and then won this week against Brentford. What's Brentford? No, who did win? It wasn't Brentford. Who did they beat? Villa. It feels like they're starting to believe. I feel like they're starting to get an identity. And the funniest thing ever, Spurs fans need us to beat West Ham on Sunday. That's the funniest thing right there. They need us to beat West Ham. They will never say they will root for them. And I understand for it. If relegation was around in the NFL and I needed the Packers to beat so-and-so to keep us up, I would want them to win. I'm not going to openly root for them. Like, I hate the Packers, but I don't hate the Packers more than I love my team. So, Spurs fans, if you don't want to admit it, that's cool. We all know the real answer. But I feel like they put themselves in a real good chance to stay up. Because West Ham really messed up these last 2 weeks. Drawing against Everton at the crib and then losing to Brentford. It was Brentford they lost to this week. Because now it opens up the door. Now they got to play us, which we're playing for our title. I don't think they're going to win. I think we're going to win. Oh, so that's going to be tough for them. Then I think they got, trying to see who are the two matchups that they got after. I know they got a tough into the season. I know Spurs play Leeds at home the week after, which Leeds is safe from relegation. They ain't really got nothing to play for. But that's still going to be a tough game because you never know what type of Spurs you're going to get at home. They are a terrible home team. So after they play us, West Ham got to go to St. James Park to play Newcastle. Then they're home against Leeds. They can win both games. Newcastle ain't nothing. But playing at St. James Park is still very, very tough. Ultimately, I think it's going to go down to last week. I just don't think either team is good enough to run around with it. Because even if, let's just say, Spurs beat Leeds and, you know, West Ham loses to us, then they would be, I think they'd be like 2 points behind them. So they could still, you know, slip on a banana peel and win. But overall, I think it was a great weekend for Spurs. And their fortunes look a lot better to stay up. Last thing, Chelsea Football Club. It couldn't have happened to a better bunch of bums over there. Number one thing that I hate about Chelsea fans is Chelsea fans talk like they're God's gift to football. Okay, like they're any different from Man City. Like y'all the same cheaters. Y'all the same cheaters, and they go around talking all this crap like they just like they're Manchester United or something. So I will say this, man, they're the loudest fan base I've ever run into. I know plenty of Chelsea fans, loud, and it couldn't have happened to a better bunch. Six losses in a row. Yeah, you're playing for the FA Cup in the final, but let's be 100% real here. Manchester City is going to beat y'all. It don't matter if Man City do rotate, and I do expect City to rotate in that final. They're going to beat y'all. And honestly, if you're a Chelsea fan, deep down, you shouldn't want to win the FA Cup. And I say that because I may not know too much about Blue Coat, but I know how American sports ownership works. And that means that the money's still coming in, and you get a little trophy or something every now and then, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And that's what they're going to keep doing. And I think that, you know, making, you know, winning a trophy be a little feather in the cap. Like, hey, we still won the second most prestigious trophy in English football. So I don't think you should want that. But it's terrible times for them. The messed up part for Chelsea is they're going to have to sell a lot of guys because they're not going to make Champions League football. So they're going to miss out a lot of money on that. I think they're probably going to finish like 10th. And then who's really going to manage that team? Like, honestly, there's going to be no manager who's worth a damn who's going to work in that system of being told what to do. Because if you're a manager in Chelsea, you can't really manage and do what you want to do because you got all these people telling you what to do. So losing to a rotated Nottingham Forest side at home, right? They only 6 points above the relegation line. Absolutely shambolic work by Chelsea, but it couldn't have happened to a better fan base. That is all I got for y'all on this edition of Soccer for Dummies. I will be back next week to hopefully be talking about Arsenal being anywhere from 8 points up to even, you know, six or seven. So hopefully that's what's happening this week. So we'll see. I know I did the math wrong on that because I forgot City got to play Brentford day four, dude. So if they win, they can cut it down to two. And with a win, we cut it back to five. So, yeah, man, it's we're almost at the end. We're almost at the end. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the season to open. I'm not saying I didn't have fun. It's been fun. But my nerves have been shot for almost a calendar year. If you take this season and the roller coaster bear season I just went through, I just want 2 months of not having any emotional attachment to any sports. I do not care what the Chicago White Sox do. I do not care about what Team USA does in the World Cup. Just give me them 2 months, hopefully 2 months, where I can talk about Arsenal either winning the Premier League for the first time in 22 years or winning the Champions League for the first time in club history, or even better, them doing the double. And if they do the double, yeah, still time on the clock. If this is the fourth quarter, there's 5 minutes left. We got the ball. A lot of game left. So anyway, follow me at Barbara Chair Scott. please subscribe to my channel. Please subscribe to the channel. I can't do this without y'all love and support. Subscribe, leave a comment, rate. Even if you don't like the content, put in the comment box, you suck, whatever. Just let's get these engagements going. I appreciate y'all. And I will holler at y'all next week for another edition of Soccer for Dummies. I'm out.